Joining me right now here on the Knock On Sports from GopherTheTwo.com to talk college football, it is Joe Lisi. Joe, how you doing today, my friend?
Another great weekend of college football in week number two, Anthony. I'm loving life. Looking forward to a great week number three. Can't wait.
Well, Joe, there's some great matchups to talk about in week number three and also week number two, and let's start there. And I think for me and a lot of fans, Joe, we got to start with that Oklahoma-Ohio State game. Oklahoma really putting the exclamation point on where they're at this point of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think Oklahoma really solidified itself as a top five team with their dominating win in the Horseshoe last week. They put up 490 total yards of offense last week, 386 passing yards and 104 rushing yards on the ground. And I think the one thing that you saw was a confident quarterback in Baker Mayfield. But more importantly, Anthony, that defense that ran sideline to sideline with Ohio State, especially in run support, was the most intriguing thing that I took from that game. And then secondly was the Ohio State secondary. Now, through two games, they've allowed an average of 403 passing yards to opposing offenses, 422 Indiana and 386 last week. That was the cause of concern for me for the Buckeyes entering the season with three new starters in that secondary. And unless they can fix that, I think this is an 8-4 team overall for 2017.
The secondary, like you mentioned, was a problem, and that's what we talked about in our preview leading up to the season. But one thing for me that's a little more surprising is JT Barrett's not on the same page with this offense through 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, we brought it up in the offseason, Anthony. Ohio State lost 19 of the team's 26 receiving touchdowns with wide receivers Samuel Wilson and Noah Brown moving on to the NFL, coupled with the fact of new offensive coordinator Kevin Wilson from Indiana. There is inconsistency, and I thought that would be a cause of concern entering the season for the Buckeyes offense. When you force JT Barrett in the pocket, especially in third down and long situations, he struggled as a pocket passer. And unless Ohio State can fix that into Big Ten conference play, I think they're an 8-4 team overall.
And Joe, for Oklahoma, I've always, especially with Bob Stoops being at the helm in years past, I've always been kind of skeptical of buying in on Oklahoma. But after seeing what they did to Ohio State, and I know they still have the rest of the Big 12 schedule, they're going to have to face Texas for the rivalry game, which, you know, it doesn't matter what the records are at that point, and they still have to face a dangerous Oklahoma State team that looks really good right now, too. How much are you buying into the Sooners?
I think they're a 9-3 team overall. I'm not buying all in on the Sooners. I think we saw a little bit of Oklahoma taking a step up and Ohio State taking a slight step back in 2017. For me, I still think the elite team within the conference is Oklahoma State and their quarterback, Mason Rudolph. I think they have a tough matchup this coming weekend on the road against Pittsburgh. But again, I think they have the most prolific offense in the Big 12.
And Joe, you talked about Oklahoma State there, and they're taking on Pitt, and I want to bring up another one with Penn State, another team that's looked good through 2 weeks, James Franklin taking a shot at Pitt to a degree. I just found it in bad taste because James Franklin, a little less than a year ago, was on the hot seat at this point. But for Penn State and for you, Joe, is Penn State the real deal, or are we still needing to find out more as they get ready to take on tougher competition?
No, I think Penn State is the top team in the Big Ten from top to bottom. I think offense and defensive lines have gelled. This was a defense in the last seven games last year that only allowed 99.5 rushing yards per game. They stepped up against Akron, even though it was a MAC opponent. They dominated that matchup. And then secondly, the way they dominated from a physicality perspective, Pittsburgh on the offense and defensive lines, that was a very good effort at home. Again, I think as they move through Big Ten play, the progression of Trace McSorley and that offense will take major strides. And this is my pick to not only win the Big Ten Conference, but become a playoff team in 2017.
Joe, was there any surprises to you through the first 2 weeks of the season?
I think that there's parity in college football, Anthony. I mean, I don't think there's one team on any given Saturday that can't lose. I really believe that. You could throw in Alabama into that mix along with any top five team. I mean, there is parity in college football, and that's what makes the game great, is that we don't know who's going to win each and every weekend. But in the end, it'll be the most entertaining college football season that we've seen in recent years.
My featured guest is Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com, talking college football. And Joe, before we get into it, I want to talk about some of the Florida schools, a lot of games being canceled. One team in particular that has a lot of question marks after that week one loss to Alabama is Florida State, freshman quarterback having to start. How concerned are you about Florida State, considering they haven't been able to play, they're not going to play Miami, they're not playing the team that they were supposed to play this past weekend either. How concerned are you about Florida State right now as a team that wanted to try and compete for the college football playoff?
Yeah, I think this is a team in a little bit of a downward spiral. I picked them at second in the ACC Atlantic behind Clemson. That was with DeAndre Francois at the quarterback position. I think when you look at this team, and more importantly, the situation in Florida as a whole with Hurricane Irma, those types of circumstances, I mean, they are kids. They have to deal with adversity, not just on the football field, but off the football field. How does that play out in the recent weeks? We'll have to see. They do play Miami October 7th. That game did get rescheduled. So we'll see. It is a rivalry game. Hopefully by then things will settle down within the state. But it's unfortunate circumstances. But now without their leader of that offense, I think the Florida State Seminoles are the third best team within the conference.
And Joe, let's stick with the ACC conversation. A big game coming up, and that's going to be Clemson versus Louisville. Before we dive into that game, what did you think of Clemson versus Auburn this past weekend?
I thought Clemson solidified itself as the top team in the country. I think they were a top team entering the 2017 season, and I'm not backing down now. They're one of my four teams to make the playoff this coming year, and their defense with an 11-sack performance last week against Jared Stidham and that Auburn offensive line. They held the Tigers to 117 total yards of offense, 79 passing, and only 38 rushing yards on the ground. A dominant effort. They now have to face Heisman Trophy winner Lamar Jackson on the road. If they can get through this roadblock, Anthony, I think they're the clear-cut favorite to win the ACC, but it's not going to be easy. Clemson has defeated Louisville over the last 3 years. They're 3-0, but have won those games by only 5 points per game. It's going to be a crazy atmosphere in Papa John Stadium, but Kelly Bryant also solidified himself as the leader of that offense. We'll see how it plays out, but I like the Tigers this coming Saturday.
And Joe, Lamar Jackson, he's looked a lot better throwing the football as we've started the season. What have you liked about his game?
He's going through his reads and progressions better as a pocket passer. He's still about 85% of that offense, and that's the one concern I have for the Louisville as they navigate through conference play. But again, he's the most athletic, dynamic player in college football, but he's become a better pocket passer and has learned to distribute the football, especially in the passing tree, and that's going to benefit him as he goes up against Clemson's defense this coming Saturday. Clemson, if you look at their defensive front seven, they can run sideline to sideline and force him in the pocket. Third downs will be critical for this matchup. Clemson's holding opposing offenses to only 30% on third downs. That's a cause of concern. You want to be able to sustain drives. Whether Lamar Jackson can do that at home will be the key if Louisville strikes the upset this coming Saturday.
And Joe, and for Louisville to strike that upset, similar to last week when Louisville faced North Carolina, is Lamar Jackson going to have to throw for over 300 yards and rush for over 100 yards, you think, to have a shot to beat Clemson?
I think so. I don't think they can rest on their defensive front seven. I'm still not sold on this defense running from sideline to sideline. And more importantly, in terms of a physicality perspective in run support, you saw teams like North Carolina and you saw teams like Purdue finesse type of offenses move the football against that Louisville Cardinal defensive front seven. Clemson's a different animal with a bevy of talent at every playmaker position. They're loaded five wide at the wide receiver position, and they're three deep at the running back position, so they'll have fresh legs in the ballgame at all times. I think it's up to Lamar Jackson to take the game over, because I think they are a one-man show. As Lamar Jackson goes, so do the Louisville Cardinals' success in 2017.
My featured guest is Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com, and we're talking college football. Joe, let's talk about another matchup. It's a rivalry game in the Southeast, Tennessee versus Florida, but this game doesn't quite bring the same hype as it usually does, as there's still a lot of questions with Florida's offense and still a lot of questions about Tennessee overall as a team.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think the one concern entering this game is where is it going to be played, first of all. We've heard that Gainesville is flooded and they might move the game to Atlanta and the Mercedes-Benz Dome. That would be a concern if I'm a Florida fan. To lose that home field advantage in a rivalry game is going to be critical. Tennessee snapped an 11-game skid last year. They trailed 21-3 in Knoxville and won that ballgame 38-28. Now they go and face a down Florida team. In order for Florida to win this ballgame and, more importantly, have success in the Southeastern Conference, they're going to have to run the football consistently, and they haven't done that, especially in their week one matchup against Michigan. When you look at Tennessee's weaknesses as a defensive front seven, it comes in run support. They're not a physical defensive front seven and give up a lot of rushing yards to opposing offenses. I think that's the success that Florida has to really try and duplicate this coming Saturday, wherever the game is played. But I do give the edge to Florida's secondary going up against Dormandy for Tennessee at the quarterback position. Not sold on the consistency of Tennessee's offense. We'll see how it plays out, but I give the early edge in this matchup to the Florida Gators because of their secondary and their athleticism on defense.
Joe, another game that's going to be kept an eye on is Texas versus USC, a rematch of that great national championship game a couple of years ago. And obviously not going to be the same game here. Texas not showing a whole lot through the first couple of weeks of the season. USC, I have had some concerns. They've had some slow starts, but they looked better recently. What do you think about USC through the first 2 weeks?
Well, Jekyll and Hyde, I expected them to bounce back in a big way against Stanford, and they didn't disappoint a dominating victory over the Cardinal at home, where they put up over 600 yards of total offense on Stanford's defensive front seven. They rushed for 304 yards on the ground and passed for 316 through the air. Sam Darnold, four touchdown passes, and they held Stanford's offense to only 183 passing yards in that matchup. That was the critical matchup for me, that they were able to keep Keller Christ in check. More importantly, Bryce Love. Yeah, they did rush for 170 yards on the ground, but they forced Stanford into an up-tempo attack, and I think that's the one thing. When you look at USC, they can play two styles. They can play a ground and pound type of ball control type of attack with Sam Darnold and Ronald Jones, or they could spread you five wide and attack that secondary of opposing defenses, and that's why I think they're a legitimate playoff contender. They have athletes, and I think they pose a major problem to the Texas Longhorn defense this coming weekend.
My featured guest is Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com. We're talking college football. And Joe, how can they follow your work?
You can follow me on Twitter at GoForTheTwo, the number two. You can go to my website at GoForTheTwo, the number 2.com. And they can follow my show on Dish Network every Saturday morning, channel 266, 9 to 12 p.m. Eastern, 6 to 9 a.m. Pacific.
Joe, always a pleasure to have you on the show and talk college football, my friend. It's going to be exciting week 3, and looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Anytime, Anthony. Love the show.